Good morning. My name is Debbie Edgar. I'm the Director of Operations here at the table. My pronouns are she, her. We're so happy to see each of you this morning. We're especially grateful to see Bishop Sandy and DS Mike in the back. As we move into this time of worship, I invite you to stand in body or in spirit for our call to worship. This is a responsive prayer. I'll be the voice of one, and we'll join our voices together for the part of all. In worship, we hear God's story and we ask. In worship, we hear God's story, so we ask, what is God doing here and now? In worship, we hear God's story, then we ask,
what can I do to respond to it all?
Listen, God is speaking.
Listen, it may be time to ask.
Let us worship our moving, inspiring, and with us God. I invite you to remain standing as our music team leads us in the song, Love Came Down at Christmas. Christmas has come and the love we've been waiting for has arrived. This song helps us reflect on what it means to live now, shaped by a love that chose nearness, humility, and hope.
So this is a pretty easy one. It's going to be sung in a round, so you guys can latch on to either of the parts as we continue through this. And, you know, back in the day, you might have sung this in kindergarten where one part would start and the other part comes in after. So it doesn't really matter what part you choose, but just try to find someone that you hear and then sing along.
You may be seated. Let us move into an attitude of prayer.
Buffaloes are the only animals that run into a storm. They can smell the snow coming. They can feel the temperature change deep in their bones. So they gather together, a pack on the plains. And with their large, lumbering bodies, they run. They run through snow and ice, wind and rain. They do not stop until they reach the sun. When you are afraid because this world is cruel and harsh, or because humans are deported and shot without reason, or because we cannot remember how to talk to each other civilly, I will be your pack. I will stay by your side. I will run with you until we reach the sun.
You know, usually at 9:30 I'm at the back, but when I'm doing Next Step, I end up being here. And listening to you guys' voice is like divine, right? So thank you for being here. An amazing, amazing vocal, amazing. Good morning. My name is Sarneet Prasad. My pronouns are he and him. And welcome to the table. Let's all breathe in and breathe out. This week, we are offering godly play. Our teaching team is taking time for rest today. We do have loving and professional care. I ended up reading not. Oh, jeez. We do have professional care this morning. So if any children wants to join Ciara, Natalie, and Zoe, they can go to the A-frame, and you're welcome to do that. This is the time of the year we invite you to prayerfully consider your deep commitment to God, our community of faith, and the communities we are called to serve in the coming year. You can find 2026 deep commitment form in the Church Center website or using this QR code that is going to be displayed on our screen. There's still time to participate in this year's Christmas offering. If you're able, this year our financial donation will be split between the Global Ministry of United Methodist Church and South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership. Global Ministry mission work through churches partners wherever there is a greatest need. SSIP clients are unhoused who are hungry, low-income families who struggle to put food on the table, and immigrants and refugees navigating the complex support system. You can make a donation by using Church Center app or by visiting our website. Each year, Habitat for Humanity Builds for Unity takes place during World Interfaith Harmony Week and brings together over 200 communities participants from all faiths and beliefs to build homes, communities, and hope. This year, volunteers from the table will join other communities of faith to help build homes in Sierra Drive community in Citrus Heights. There are spots for 5 volunteers on Saturday, January 31st, and 5 spots on Friday, 6th February. You can register using QR code on the screen or to be part of this important effort. Our monthly game night for January will be on Friday, January 9th in Fireside Room from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. In January, game night will be on the second Friday because of the holidays. In February, game night will resume on a regular schedule, which is the first Friday of each Friday of the month, which is February 6th in this case. There will be a variety of games for all ages, or bring your own favorite to share. We will have coffee, tea, and hot chocolate. Feel free to bring a snack to share. Christmas Eve, wow. So I will show you, I had this counter with me, and I was counting people as I go along, and I lost track. There was like, wow, me and Debbie, we talked to each other and we were like, we are tired. And we were like, yeah, there were more than 400 people, both service combined. And it was just beautiful, beautiful to see amazing people coming together, familiar faces, which I see them regularly on Sunday, and people who are just coming with families and from kids to old, and just wonders in their eyes and love and comfort and just coming together on Christmas Eve and get to spend with all of us. So it's just wonderful to see that, and we celebrated Christmas Eve with wonders and with such an amazing message by Pastor Greg. Now I invite you to remain seated as we sing Home by Another Way. After Christmas, the journey continues, and it often leads us sometimes different places than we expected. This song reminds us that transformation can change our direction, that sometimes faith means choosing a new way forward.
people call them wives, or counselors, or even kings. Well, anyway, those guys, they visited with Jesus. They sure enjoyed their stay. They warmed in a dream, the King Herod's scheme. They went home by another way. Yes, they went home by another way. Make it another way. Safe home, as they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high and go home another way. Steer clear of royal welcomes. Avoid a big to-do. A king who would slaughter the innocents will not cut a deal for you. Really wants those presents. He'll comb your camel's fur until his boys announce they found trace amounts of your frankincense, gold and myrrh. It's time to go home by another way, home by another way. Have to figure the guide to sing and play the odds and go home by another way. We can make it another way. That they're right, but Herod's always out there. He's got our card on file. It's a lead pipe cinch. If we give an inch, old Herod like to take a mile. It's time to go home by another way, home by another way. We got this far to a lucky star, but tomorrow's another day. We can make it.
That was catchy, Hannah. Thank you, music team. All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Bob Martinez. My pronouns are he and him. And our reading this morning is from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 13 through 15 and 19 through 23. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And the angel said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you otherwise. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod died, the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and the angel said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was ruling Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene.
Well, good morning. Good morning to those of you who are joining us online. It's so good to have some long time friends present with us today. And Bishop, thank you so much for being with us at this special day. 6 months ago, Bishop, I was introduced to the service here at 9:30. Then Judy Robinson drove me to the conference office, and there I was appointed, and then I came back to be introduced at the 11 o'clock service. So it was a rushing day. Judy was my special driver waiting for me at the front, at the door of the convention center, so I could be there and here for that day. Well, my name is Jorge Dominguez, and I use pronouns he, him, and it's good to be with you this day. Let us have a moment of prayer. At this Christmas time, we come to you once again, O God, and ask that you open our ears, our hearts, our minds to listen to your message, the message that comes through this moment that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I also wanted to acknowledge that my son is visiting here with us today. So he's coming from New York and spending these days here with us. And I mentioned him because I actually ask his permission to tell a story about something that happened 30 years ago. It has to do with fear, which is the theme that we are talking about during this Advent. In 1995, the three of us moved to Costa Rica for 1 year. We were studying, Rosangela and I were studying there. Andrea was 3 when he came with us, and we spent the year. He was almost turning 4 when this happened. We lived there in San Jose, the capital, but we also had time to go around and visit the different places in the country, which is very small, but very diverse and very beautiful. And this day in the spring, we went to visit the volcano Arenal. The volcano, the Arenal volcano, is an active volcano. It's dormant right now, but it has gone through an eruption in 1996, and again, I think, in 2006 or 2010. And when we were living there, it was actually giving some activity, showing that it was about to burst. But we decided to go and visit. We were tourists. We were trying to get to know places there. And when we got to the volcano, we parked and started walking through the path that goes close as they would allow us to go. And we were, the three of us, plus a few friends who were studying with us at the time. And when we were walking through, Andrea was in the front. He was very excited about seeing the volcano. There was an explosion, a very, very loud boom that shook the ground a little bit, and of course it scared us to death. And the immediate reaction was run away, right? So we started running, and I was in the back, and I saw Andrea coming with his face full of fear. We all were. thinking that there was going to be an eruption at that time. But when I saw him, I don't know what happened. I actually just picked him up, stopped, and looked at the volcano and said to him, "Listen, the volcano is greeting us. It's saying, 'Boom, dear.'" And we stopped, and immediately after, sand started falling over us. And it ended being a very nice experience. We walked a little bit further and cautiously were there for a while until we left. But that was, to me, an experience of how we respond from fear to making something very good in life when we respond proactively. I think that those experiences with André made him probably what he is today. In 2006, we went to the Grand Canyon, and he was there standing by the edge looking down while I was crawling on my feet because I couldn't actually look at that. So my fear is still very, very strong. He actually started to not be afraid at all, which scared me to death. But fear is something that we always want is to end. And when it's Christmas, we always want things to get resolved, right? Because Christmas is at the end of the year. It's a beautiful time. It's a time when we want the lights to stay warm, music to stay gentle, the story to stay sweet. We want the manger to close the book on fear. Matthew doesn't let us do that. The scripture for today insists that we need to continue telling the story. Angels still speak, yes, but soldiers also move in. A child is born and a king feels threatened. Dreams guide the faithful and terror stalks the streets. Professor Reverend Dr. Bong-Yong Lee, a clergy colleague from the California Conference who teaches at the Iliff School of Theology, says, he reminds us in this way, Christmas is not a conclusion, it is a beginning. The manger glows with peace and promise, but the world around it remains dangerous. In Matthew's gospel, the good news of Jesus' birth is immediately met with a violent response from the empire. Herod, threatened by the news of a new king, responds with fear turned lethal. Once again, fear drives people into flight. Matthew tells us that after the Magi left, Joseph is warned in a dream, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt." And this is not a poetic language. It's not a metaphor. It's emergency language. Herod is about to unleash violence on children. Fear is no longer hypothetical. It was not the danger of the trip to Bethlehem. It's immediate. It's embodied. It's deadly. And so Mary, Joseph, and Jesus do what millions have done across history and are doing today. They run for safety. Jesus begins his life as a refugee. Again, this is not a spiritualized idea. It's a political reality. This is not a small journey. It's a border crossing. A dislocation, a story of becoming refugees in a foreign land. Before Jesus ever preaches a sermon, before he heals or teaches or challenges empire, his family is already resisting it by refusing to let empire destroy their child. But fear is not the enemy. We often talk about fear, something that we have to conquer, to deny, or pray away. But the gospel tells us a more complicated truth. You know, Herod is also afraid. The tyrant is afraid, but his fear is the fear of losing power, and that fear turns murderous, fear that turns into destruction. And we need to understand that fear if we want to relate and to address the consequences of that fear. But Joseph's fear is different. Joseph is afraid for someone else, afraid for a child, afraid for a future, afraid enough to listen, afraid enough to move, afraid enough to trust God's warning and act. Dr. Lee puts this way, the Holy Family's flight to Egypt is born of fear, but it's also born of love, of protection, of resistance to an unjust power. Fear in this story is not paralysis. It's not running away without seeing where you're going. It's actually a propulsion to safety. So fear can be something more. It's not always that we just push away or deny or are ashamed of. Fear can be information, can be energy. Fear can become a fuel, an adrenaline that turns potential energy into action because it doesn't freeze us, it propels us to action. So Joseph does not wait for the danger to pass. He does not just hide. He does not demand certainty. He moves while the threat still exists. And when the family returns years later, the danger is not entirely gone. Herod's son rules now. So Joseph once again reroutes his way and settles in Galilee. So the gospel is very honest. The threat remains. And still, God is present. Still, angels speak. Still, another way, another door opens. As Dr. Lee says, the presence of God does not remove the threat, but transforms how we respond to it. So Jesus is formed in that context of fear. We always think about how he became who he was, and we think about him being the Son of God, but it's also important to see the clues that Matthew gives us. Jesus grows up in knowing displacement. He grows up shaped by the political violence, the stories of soldiers and slaughter, by the collective trauma carried in Galilee. He grows up among people who know what empire does to bodies, to human bodies, and this matters. It helps us to understand why Jesus later will say, "Blessed are the poor." Why he centers the vulnerable, the children, why he refuses Herod-like power, why he gathers community not just by bloodline, but also by shared commitment to God's justice. Matthew's gospel builds a community by a shared commitment to God's justice, a family formed through faith and through solidarity. Jesus' ministry is not disconnected from his childhood, from what he lived through those formational years. It flows directly from that. But we don't need to just think about the fear of that time. Fear still shapes lives today, and we do not have to imagine that fear. Dr. Lee, in her reflections about Christmas, reminds us what so many people experience daily. There are people in our communities living in fear every day. Immigrants and asylum seekers fearing deportation. Trans and queer youth fearing rejection or violence. Black and brown parents fearing for their children's safety, people living under war and occupation fearing that violence will never end. Their fear is not born of irrationality or something that they can explain. It's born out of injustice. And the gospel does not ask us to dismiss that fear. It's asked us to listen attentively to it, to ask, whose fear are we ignoring or not seeing? To notice where the fear is telling the truth about the world's brokenness. You know, Herod's actions, a genocide against children, would have spurred a mass immigration. It wasn't just Joseph and Mary who flew away. The Holy Family probably traveled through the Gaza Strip on their way to Egypt with other families, trying to find safety and courage together in their journey. They likely received and shared in solidarity with other refugees, other people who were running away from that action, that violence. And when they arrived in Egypt, who do you imagine welcomed them in? Did they reside with other Jewish families or with other poor people who shared their hospitality, with people of other faiths, other races, other nationalities? It is an unsettling truth. Hospitality often comes from unexpected places. Those who flee from violence often find shelter in the arms of strangers. The Holy Family survives because someone in Egypt made room for them, fed them, sheltered them. Someone did not ask for papers or proof of worth, only saw their need. This too is holy fear at work, the fear that compels compassion rather than cruelty. So here's the question that this gospel today leaves with us. Not whether we are afraid, but how our fear will be used. Because we are, and people are afraid. Will it turn us inward like Herod? Or outward like Joseph? Will it harden us into trying to maintain control or soften us into courage? Dr. Lees asks us to wonder, what stories of unexpected kindness do we hold? What new alliances, what new communities of care might our own fear lead us to build? God does not leave the Holy Family alone in their fear. And God does not leave us alone either. The Christmas story does not promise a world without Herods, without tyrants, but it does promise us Emmanuel, God with us, even when we are running, even when we are afraid, even when danger remains, even when the road is uncertain. We need to understand this fear, even to address those that cause the fear among the most vulnerable. So, this Christmastide, at this dawn of a new year, perhaps the faithful question is not only, what do I fear? But also, whose fear I am called to notice? Whose safety I am being invited to protect? What action is fear asking of me? May our fear, like Joseph's, be grounded in love, be guided by God, become movement instead of paralysis. May it become a fierce compassion and love, courageous solidarity, a fire that warms the vulnerable, a fire that lights the way, a fire that refused to let injustice have the final word. Amen.
Here at the table, gathering around the Lord's table, there is always enough room, enough food, enough love for everyone. Here at this table, you are wanted and welcome. You are safe and loved. Here at this table, you belong. So my friends, there is no need for fear here, for this is a joyful feast, and you are invited. Come, all are welcome.
Family of faith, the invitation of our faith is simple. We are invited to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. And yet, those acts have always been easier said than done. In confession, we speak honestly with God. We tell the truth of our lives, and in response, God offers us grace. God picks us up and shakes the dust off our weary bones and shows us how to keep walking toward God. So I invite you to stand in body or in spirit, as you choose, and go to God in prayer, not because we have to, but because God will always meet us there. Let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us. Scripture tells us that you were a refugee, but we love to forget that information. We love to forget every act of gun violence. We love to forget how many people go hungry. We love to forget the injustices in our world that feel too big for us to face. But you are a God who refuses to forget. So we pray, make it impossible for us to overlook the stories of those in need. Make it impossible for us to sweep injustice under the rug. Open our eyes along with our hearts so that the anger we feel around injustice might fuel a fire for action. We hope for a better tomorrow, we pray. Amen. Church family, when we fail to do justice, even when we fail to love kindness, even when we allow fear to override action, freezing us in place, God still loves us. So hear and believe the good news of the gospel. On our best days and on our worst days, we belong to God. We are invited into community and we are held in God's grace, and we are forgiven, and we are sent to serve. And thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen. Amen.
Let us recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you to share a symbol of peace with those around you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
Give it to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
new one. We've heard this tale before. We've seen the nativities, watched the plays, and sung the songs. And yet we let fear paralyze us. So spark our spirits awake. Call forth awareness, attention, and reverence in us. Allow us to hear this ancient tale with brand new ears and let it fuel a fire for justice. Today we ask that you speak your words of hope and joy again and break through the chatter and the distraction of our weary minds and speak to us once more. And then, like the heavenly host, we will sing our thanksgivings.
Count our blessings. We also pray for those who face their fear alone. Show us how to reach across dividing lines. Show us how to walk with each other on the good days and the bad. Show us how to see each other. Show us how to reach for each other. And as you continue to walk with us, we will remind each other of your presence in our world, and we will sing a new song.
Replace our fear with words of hope, songs of joy, and acts of love. And as we come to the table, pour out your spirit on this bread and on this cup. Remind us that even in a fearful world, you are on the move. You are here inviting us to the table, nourishing our spirits, reminding us that we belong, calling us by name. And so instill this hope and good news in us. For this is a joyful feast.
Let us pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples and which have been formed and reformed throughout the generations. This morning we share a paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer written by the Anglican priest Jim Cotter and adapted for the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray together. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe, the way of your justice to be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Loving God, pour out your spirit on this table and on this simple bread and juice. Remembering the simple meal Jesus shared with his disciples, as he continues to share with us today. For the thing we fear the most is distance from you, so draw near to us here at this moment and fill this room with your spirit and this table with Jesus' love. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to be seated. Of course, all are welcome to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people, to those of us who have a lifelong practice of celebrating communion, and for those who this will be our very first time, and all of us in between. Because we believe that this is our home, God's place in which all are welcome, and all really means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. And please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary this morning, you do not have to be a member of this church or any other church or denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, and so everyone is invited to come. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back of the sanctuary. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers and juice as is in each cup. We invite you to take a piece of bread or a cracker and dip it into the juice, and then make your way around the sides to pray with candles for as long as you might desire, and return to your pews already. And if you were not here for Christmas Eve and would like to pick up a rock that simply says hope on it, to remind us that even in fear, we're a people who insist on hope and to live deeply in that hope. You can find the rocks in a basket up front here and in the back. Let us move together now with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and the bread of life that is broken for you. And in this cup, God's love is poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please, those who are in the prayer stations, remain as long as you want or you need to be there. Let us pray together. Loving God, in a world wracked with fear, you gather us, you set the table, you meet us here, you nourish our bodies as you nourish our spirits. You remind us that this is a joyful feast and that fear cannot win every time. So with renewed courage, with renewed hope and renewed joy, send us out into the world. Help us feed others as you have fed us. With gratitude we pray. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we also invite you to join us in giving generously to support the ministries here at our church. The generosity of our community allows us to invest in God's unfolding call on our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice. We encourage you to make a gift today by placing a check in the offering plates or by giving online at the table, umc.org. And as Sarnit reminded us, you can still participate in our Christmas offering that is designated to support ministries locally through the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet and throughout the world with global ministries of the United Methodist Church. I would like us also to this moment have a moment, a special moment, to recognize Greg with us. And I invite Melissa, the chair of our board, for some words with us.
Thank you. I had to do notes or else I'll cry. Good morning. My name is Melissa Jacobs. I've been your administrative board chair for the last couple of years. And I asked to say a few words as we say goodbye to Greg and Connie this morning. Your administrative board, all of us, Nancy Allen, Denise Brick, Kara Tupi, Pearl Crescetto, Lynn Edison, Lisa Wegley, Becca Kramer, and Bryce McAnally, all of us. We are very, very grateful for you, Greg, as you have come alongside us this last 7 months. We are grateful to you and Connie for discerning and deciding to upend your life and your retirement in Nebraska in the next chapter to be here with us. So we have a token of appreciation for the two of you to have a meal on us in Nebraska. And I asked Seska to share a poem, and so there's a poem in there from Seska that reflects, I think, beautifully reflects your relationship to us here at the table and your friendship. And in the spirit of the author Kobe Yamada, for those who know Kobe Yamada, thank you for reminding us that maybe we can do scary, hard things, and why not stay curious and embrace the messy? And so here are a couple of Kobe Yamada books for you to remember us and your impact on us. And I thought these would be fun to share with your grandkids in England. I know you're visiting soon. So thank you for all of the things. I know I will miss you. We will miss you. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I thought I was going to say a whole bunch of things, but I'm not. I want to tell you a story. Of course. So tomorrow, Connie and I are flying home to Omaha. And we get in about midnight tomorrow night. When we get in, it's going to be like 22 degrees. And it's going to get down to about 9. So a bit different than here. But yesterday, a funny thing happened. Connie and I decided to go spend a couple of days in Carmel after Christmas Eve. We ended up in Monterey because all the power was out in Carmel. And we were coming back here, and I pulled my phone out to find the quickest way to get back to Sacramento. And my phone popped up, and it said home. And it gave the address of that Airbnb down the street. So I've been here long enough, and we've been going back and forth long enough that my phone thinks this is home. And Connie and I talked about it, and I realized that although we'll be flying home tomorrow night, this is still home and always will be. And so thank you all for making us feel at home. And know that you will always have a place in our hearts. Thank you.
Let us stand and sing it, Go Tell Into the Mountain, because this story doesn't end at the manger. We are sent out to carry what we have received, sharing good news through this rooted in love, justice, and compassion community.
Go tell it on the mountain. What are we going to say? This is home. This is home. Jesus Christ is born. This is home. At times, we may have to go home another way. But it's still home. And as we go out the doors together, I promise you, there are people desperately looking for home, and we get to offer it to them. Amen.